Hey, did you ever eat something that was good?
Yeah.
And you found out later it was bad for you? But it sure tasted good, didn't it? Man, and then you had to struggle and fight not to eat it again because you knew it was bad for you. It's called taking dominion, isn't it? Man, but it tasted so good. In fact, you even thought about getting a recipe and tried to convince yourself that you only eat it once in a while. But when, man, you made that batch of cookies that was not good for you, you ended up eating most of them. But it tasted so good, but then the results were destructive later, and then you got beat up for what you just did and so forth. Well, you know, those are the things that are also in the spirit. You know that things that are happening in the natural realm are also happening in the spirit realm. That's why Jesus used to speak in parables. He was always expressing the things of the spirit realm into the natural realm so man could get understanding. You know, and the devil loves, his doctrine is do what you feel like. If it feels good, go ahead and do it. If it tastes good, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Have no restraint, have nothing. Just go ahead and do it. That's why there's fornication, lying, stealing, and everything, because people are doing what they feel like doing and because it feels good or tastes good. But the end result is not good. So would God give you something that tastes good, but it's not good for you? No. Who would? Amen. So there's a time right now, and that's what's going on right now. Remember, the Holy Spirit was going to keep us up to date of things that the deceptions of darkness. And one of the things that we've got to have right now is discernment of what we're eating. And I'm talking spiritual. What we're receiving, what we're feeling. All of these other goofy things. The Bible talks about God gives us good things. But there's something about the good things of God. There's good gifts of God. Everything that's from God is not burdensome. Anything that you believe is from God that's burdensome is not God. Y'all hear that? Do you hear it? If it's burdensome, it ain't God. Why? Because you're able to handle it, aren't you? He won't give you any more than you can handle. So good things that we think are from God or are from above that are burdensome are not God. Hello? Unfortunately, some of us found out about it too late. Some of us got married to the wrong person. It was very burdensome. Hello? Some of us went out and bought a new car and thought it was God, and it was burdensome. So there's all kinds of things that you thought, oh, this must be from God. It's good. Yeah, great. Hey, thanks, Lord. Praise God. And you find out 2 days later, it's very burdensome. It ain't God. James chapter 1. You know, I had another message I wanted to talk about today, and the Holy Ghost said, nope. We want to walk in the truth. We want to declare the truth because time's running out and the world needs to know the truth. In James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. What's he being tempted with? A good gift. Are you hearing me? What's he being tempted with? A good gift. And he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. So that good gift that you think you're getting, that you're being tempted with, in other words, you must discern whether this gift is of God or not. Even though it may seem good, it's never burdensome. So let no one say that when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, nor does he himself tempt anyone. He what? He doesn't what? Tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires or enticed. He's drawn away by what? Own desires. Now, you got to understand this. Own desires means that you have self, don't you? Okay? So, who's associating with self? Darkness. Why? Because self is an offspring. So, when you have a desire that's of self, it's going to look good, but it's not from God. Does everybody understand this? See, this is where we begin to discern. That's why so many people can't accept counsel. That's why they say yes, yes, yes in front of you and go out and do the same stinking thing over and over and over. Because that desire of Satan is imparted in them. Now what they're desirous is to have what they believe is from God, the good thing, but it's really not from God. You can dream about it. You can lust about it. You can desire it more than anything, and it can seem good and perfect, but it ain't God. Why? Number one, God never interrupts himself, does he? Never. So what may seem good is not from above. It's from where? Beneath. If you feel like you're squirming a little bit, it's okay. In verse 14 again. But each one is tempted when he is what? Drawn away by his own desires, not the desires of the Lord. You are not drawn away by the desires of the Lord. You're drawn closer to God by the desires of the Lord. But you are drawn away from him. Hello? When it's the desires from beneath, one of the things that's going to begin to manifest is rebellion. Why? Because it's witchcraft. Pride. Mr. and Mrs. Know-it-all. Unsubmissiveness. My will, not yours. You can't tell me that's not God. That's God. See, when you got to fight that it's God, it ain't God. Come on. You all right? And 15. Then when desire has conceived, in other words, you've accepted it, you water it, you plant it now, it gives birth to what? Sin. Now, sin is the presence of evil. Transgression is the act of it. And iniquity is when you accept it and it comes down the family line. And somebody else is going to inherit what you just did. Everybody okay? So sin is the presence of evil. Was sin in the garden? Amen. So sin was already there, wasn't it? The presence of evil was already there. But nobody associated with it until after a period of time. And what did it do? Planted a seed. Hey, psst, hey Eve, yo, come here. I want to tell you something that God's holding something back for you. I got a good gift for you. Come on, I got a good gift for you, Eve. Come here, come here. Yeah, you see, over here. Come on, if you eat of this, I'm telling you what, your whole life will change. You'd be like, God, what a gift. Your eyes will be open to the natural realm, but closed to the realm of the spirit, and they were moved out of eternity because of disobedience. All because of self. What was he promoting? He was promoting self, wasn't he? He was promoting himself. He was trying to get her to be like him. Come on, be like me. The Bible says bad company corrupts what? Good habits. That's why the Lord said, stay away from that. You can eat anything in this place. I mean, this place was just not 10 by 10 room. It was big. They could go anywhere, but stay away from one tree. One tree out of the whole place. Come on. Psst. I got a good gift for you. Come on. Come on. No, but God says we can't even talk to you or touch you. Well, you're already talking to me now. See, once you begin to converse, it's already happened. Once he taps you on the shoulder and gets your attention, you go, yes. It's like a phone call. You answer it. Hello? And he answers you, hi, this is the good gift. But it's not from above. It's from beneath. In verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved. Come on, read it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creations. Wow. He who endures temptation will be blessed. He who endures discerns what's the gift from above and what's the gift from below. Discerns the gifts from God or the gifts from the carnal, selfish, flesh, fleshly, demonic desires. All good gifts are from above. Again, there is no burdensome. It doesn't produce fear. It doesn't produce anxiousness. You know, when the things come from God, there is no desire. Does everybody understand? When something comes from God, there is no desire. There's no burdensome. There isn't, it's okay. Thanks for showing me, Lord. And you put it on the shelf and you go, phew. Now, if it's God, God will give you confirmation. But there won't be a burdensome. There won't be fear. You won't have to try to water it. You don't have to do anything with it. In fact, majority of the time, it won't come back until it's time. But if it's constantly coming, then that means it's being forced. Do you understand? And it's not God. Because when it's God, if you notice that when the Holy Spirit tells you something, He tells you and then that's it. And He sets back. The devil will come and keep telling you. Keep telling you. Keep telling you. And the Holy Spirit tells you and sits back. And He waits.
Amen.
Does everybody get it? See, when it's constant, then that ain't God.
Thank you.
That's called a familiar spirit. Who comes like the Holy Ghost, who's constantly telling you, reminding you, reminding you, reminding you. That's not God then. That's the devil. Does everybody understand? Go to Matthew 7. Listen, the devil ain't stupid. In fact, the Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. You know, if people could understand that they're not fighting flesh and blood. You know, majority of the body of Christ has no idea about demonic forces. They haven't even cast out a devil yet. And they're loaded with them. Well, God's clean in church. That's why judgment is in the church right now. He's bringing great discernment because He's bringing His presence and glory. And in His presence of glory is wonderful discernment. Matthew 7 and 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Now listen. So many people ask and get. Let me tell you, you be careful when you ask and get. Because there's two other things that you're supposed to do. It's called seek and knock. Because if you haven't sought and knock, that first thing that comes so quick sometimes is not God. It's of the enemy. And he knows. You don't think the devil... Well, why do you ask him for what you're asking for? Because the devil put the desire there. Remember, things, the good things of God are no burdensome. The good gifts of God are not burdensome. So what do? Lord, you ask. Why? Because you know He told you to ask. You know that because in this relationship, you're trying to bring something from the spirit realm into the natural realm. So you're actually asking for Him, not for you. Because you're not supposed to be there anymore.
Amen.
You've come to the end of yourself. You don't no longer ask for you. You ask because those are the things He wants you to have. Does He want you to have wisdom? So you ask for wisdom. Does He want you to have understanding? You ask for discernment, don't you? Lord, does He want you to have His presence? Yeah, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Does He want you to be dressed with the full armor of God? Lord, dress me. Do you understand? So what you're asking for are the things that He wants you to have, not what you want to have. The desires in you have nothing to do with you. They're everything to do with Him. So you ask, and what's the next thing you do? Seek. And then what? Knock. Okay? Is everybody all right? Verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. Everybody gets. You're either getting a good gift from above or a good gift from beneath. So you're going to get it. And he who seeks what? Finds. That's the whole key, isn't it? Finding. And what? And to him who knocks will be opened. Oh, hallelujah. So there's a path to what God has for you, waiting for you. In verse 9, read it. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish and he will give him a serpent? You know, there's a lot of people who have married serpents. Hello? Why? Because they didn't realize. They just thought, oh, this is the one. Yeah, praise God. They got married, and 2 months later, they were shooting each other. Because it wasn't God. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, hello, know how to what? Give good gifts. So does evil know how to give gifts? Yes. Evil knows how to give good gifts. Does everybody get it? To your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you things to those who ask him. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now here's the key, isn't it? In other words, before you receive the gift from God, the devil sends a false gift. He'll always try to send a false gift. But we're to ask, seek, and knock. It's a process of receiving from God. Nothing comes without asking or a desire from God, right? Evil will give you the gift. Evil gives good gifts. He loves to interfere with God's timing to bring a false focus, a false hope, and the false will. See, the purpose of this, because everything has, God's perfect will is God's perfect time. There are things that he showed me 14 years ago. I didn't chase them. They were not burdensome, nothing. Okay, I've had powerful dreams that were 14 years ago that blew my mind. He gave me confirmation and all kinds of things they put back on the shelf. Okay, now what? Let's go on. Okay, cool. And I go on. It's not burdensome. It isn't anything. 14 years later, all of a sudden, whoa, that's what you showed me 14 years ago. Yes, now I want you to do something with it. See, it didn't bother me at all. In fact, it brought reverence and fear to God. It brought humbleness. It didn't promote self. It didn't bring anxiousness. It didn't bring anxiety. It brought reverence to him. See, but the enemy will love to interfere because the first thing he wants to do is anything to prevent you to walking in God's time, because God's time is his perfect will. Anything that's not of God's time is not his perfect will. So if you get something before it's God's time, who's it from? Hello. But man, you'll swear to God, it's God. Man, you'll lay down your life, it's God. Then when you get attached to it, connected with it, 2 months later, you realize, oh my God. But Lord, you said this was you. No, it wasn't. You said it was me. But it wasn't me. And what did he do? He brought false hope. He brought false focus. Now, you say you're not focusing, but you're actually focusing on it now. You're now focusing on it instead of focusing on the Lord. So who would bring something to prevent you from focusing on the Lord? Do you understand? These are some of his tactics that he's doing right now in the body of Christ rapidly. Why? Because he knows God's trying to get his people in position to receive the things from him. So you'll get false focus, false hope, and the false will. Then he says, do unto others as you would do unto yourself. Now this is a key. It's called a reward. He does not reward rebellion. He doesn't reward disobedience. He doesn't reward works of the flesh. But it's amazing that when people are out of divine order, they get rewarded and they think it's God. Let me tell you know you're out of order and you're getting rewarded, you better be careful. You better be very, very careful. Because that's just the enemy focusing you more, more, and more. Anything that's given out of God's time is not God. Is everybody okay? Remember, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. How are you reacting to others? Are you being rewarded? You believe you deserve a reward? God will always provide essentials, even to the misled. Food, clothing, shelter. He'll always provide essentials, even to the misled. But it's amazing how the misled think that they're being blessed by God. When it's not God rewarding them for what they've done, he's providing them because he's the God and the Father of love. He even provides for the wicked. Even those who are misled, he'll provide for. I mean, I got a job and God bless. Yeah, he'll give you a job too, even if you're an idiot. Because his love is unconditional. But he will not reward you spiritually. He will not reward you. He will not reward you with something that's going to cause a problem or a stumbling block or out of his time. Go to Philippians 4. Are you all okay? Man, you're all quiet. What's up? Go ahead, search it out. Find out where you're at. It's better now than when you get home. Then it's too late. Better now before you get snagged in it, have false promise, the wrong gift. You know, don't take this wrong, but look at how many children are birthed into this world. And they are burdensome to the family now, or to the mother that's on the street, or whatever. Hello? Can it turn to good? Yes. Can anything turn to the good? Yes. But was it out of God's time? Yes. Anything out of God's time is burdensome. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, don't look at the burdensome of, I've got to work. Hello. You know, oh man, I got to get up and go to work today. What a burden. That's called death to yourself, man. You know, and the Bible says that the way of the truth of life is narrow and difficult. Why? Because God's still bringing you to yourself, to the end of yourself on a daily basis, isn't he? So don't listen, I don't want, you know, nobody to show up next Sunday saying getting up Sunday morning was burdensome. No, that's not what he's talking about. Because you're to fight for God's presence. If you're not a fire from God's presence, then you're a surrender to the presence of evil. Okay, Philippians 4 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Isn't that something? Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your what? Gentleness be known to the... Now, wait a minute. Do unto others as you would what? Do unto yourself. Do you understand? This is what he's talking about now. Let your what? Gentleness be known to all men. That the Lord is where? At hand. Be anxious for everything. Oh, be anxious for nothing. Praise God. Be anxious for what? Nothing. And everything. Just go ahead and do it. No. Pray. Yeah, I got a revelation. There they're gone. No counsel, no waiting, no nothing. Just jump in, then find out later. Oh, Lord, you promised me this. You promised. That wasn't me. You promised yourself. You didn't wait for my confirmation. You didn't wait for my correction. In fact, when I tried to correct you, you rebuked me. I kept trying to tell you it wasn't me, but no, you wouldn't listen. And then what does he do? He backs up. He doesn't bother it again. Then the enemy comes in and goes, yeah, come on. You know it's me. I mean, you know it's God. Come on. Let's do it. Yes. Did you get that good Gucci feeling? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and shut up. Let it be. Quit trying to fix God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, glory. Rejoice, it says. So when you lose your joy, what's happening? It ain't God. It's burdensome, isn't it? Rejoice. Be gentle to others. As you do unto others, you want them to do unto you. Then he said, ask. Then he says, seek. Then he says, knock. Do you see all of these things are the same? See, the devil imparts what we call cares. Care is a burden. It's not that, oh, I care for this person. That's got nothing to do with it. It's the cares that are burdensome. It's associated with anxiousness. These gifts that we call God or good gifts from God that are burdensome and anxious are not from God. That's why the devil, the Lord tells us to cast all of our what? Cares upon God. Hello? See, because man, self, carnal, has a tendency to try to fix everything. He has a tendency to try to move ahead of God. Then it brings fear, anxiety, stress, and fear of losing something or fear of not having something. These are called cares. These are the gifts from below. And what does it promote?
Self.
Rebellion, arrogance, and even ignorance. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 6 through 8, would you read it with me? Therefore what? Humble yourself. Under what? in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? God's time. Casting your desires, your dreams, your visions, your revelations, your confirmations, and your rhema upon him. Everything cast upon him, no matter what it is. Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour by deception. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is what?
Fear.
So he says, humble yourself. That means submit. If you can't submit, the things that you're good things supposedly you're saying is from God ain't. If you can't submit. Seek counsel. Wait on the Lord. Don't pursue the gift. Cast it to the Lord, because the devil will move you out of position. Does everybody understand it? And then he'll devour you. Then he'll what?
Devour
you. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, is the gift of salvation a gift from God? Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit a gift from God? Amen. Are the gifts of the Spirit the gifts from God? Amen. Those are good things, aren't they? But what are they used for? For God. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are through the Holy Spirit, who reveals to you the things that are the gifts from God. See, so many people are not using the gifts of the Spirit to find out what is the gift of God. So they get deceived, don't they? And 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 1, it says what? It says what? Do unto others as you what? Do unto yourself. Pursue what? Hello? Pursue love and what? And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may what? Prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So God is going to bring things to you, isn't he? Things that are you don't know about. So why? Let me share with you. And then you got the gifts of God, discerning the spirits, words of knowledge, hello, words of understanding, and so forth. Now, these gifts are for you to discern what is the gift of God or the gift of the devil.
Amen.
Now, we know that the gift of salvation is from God. The gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is from God, isn't it? What does it do? It brings you what? Closer to God. You be careful, because when a good gift begins to remove you away from God, it's not God. Because so many people put the gift before God. I'm talking about between them and God. See, we're to put it to him and lay it to him and leave it. Because if it's truly God, it's not burdensome, is it? Proverbs 15. And verse 22. It's just for you. We're going to expose the enemy, aren't we? See, we have the Holy Ghost who knows all things. The whole thing is now to listen to him. And Proverbs 15 and verse 22, would you read it with me? Without what?
Counsel
plans go what? Without what?
Counsel.
Now the Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's what? Safety and wisdom. So without counsel, plans go what? Amen. They get messed up, man. But in the multitude of counsel, they are what? They are what? Established. Now go to 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Wow. Now, a gift given in God's timing is good, isn't it? Because everything is associated with God's time. Remember, God will never interrupt himself. He does not put a desire in you until you fulfilled something already. Hello? Go to 24. My wife says go to 24. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. So in other words, a word or a gift in God's time. So you and I must discern these things about God's time. You know, even testimonies. God is always building a testimony in us, isn't he? And there are things that God gives us to add to the testimony because it brings glory to him. See, your testimony is constantly being built up to bring glory to God and the things that he's doing in your life. So he wouldn't give you something that's going to bring a burdensome and nullify your testimony. Would you turn to Proverbs 16 in verse 2 and 3 while we're here? Would you read it with me? All the ways of a man are what? Pure where? In his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits. In other words, there are so many things that we've gotten that we believe is from God, but it's really not. And God knows. That's why you must wait. That's why you must surrender. That's why you must be able to use the gifts of the Spirit to discern whether it's of God or not. That's why you must get counsel. You just don't move on something. I don't move on dreams. I don't move on anything. Even when I get fresh rhema, I wait, confirm it. I get counsel. I seek God. I wait till the door opens. If this is him, and I discern time. If you can't discern time, you'll always be misled. Then Jesus said that to them. He said, you can discern all of these other things, but you can't discern the visitation of the Lord. When he was standing right in front of you, man, you can discern all of these seasons, but you can't even discern this. In verse 3, I'm sorry. Commit your what? Works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Hallelujah. Surrender it all. Go to Ephesians 4. Remember that the greatest gift is his presence. The greatest gift is his presence. When you begin to substitute gifts for God's presence, it ain't God. Ephesians 4. When you begin to substitute your vision for God's presence, your ministry, your marriage, and everything else, your children for God's presence, it ain't God. God never interrupts himself. Never. The first thing he always wants is his presence in you and with you. See, because in his presence, you have everything. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The only thing you want is him. And in his presence, everything is available. All eternity. That's how you time travel. We won't go there today. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In other words, don't give place to him. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't let anything proceed. Do you know how many people will not take their own responsibility? They blame everything for what? On somebody else or what they're doing. Man, you're the one that made me do this. You're the one that made me this way. You're the one that made me that way. No, they didn't. You made the choice. You came in agreement with the voice of the stranger said that you this way, and you said, okay. Hello? You cannot say that the devil made you do it. He can't. You can't say that somebody made you do this. It's a lie from hell. That's all you did is you agree with the voice of the stranger, then you blame somebody else for it because you won't take your own responsibility. It's called pride and arrogance. Hello? It's called what? Pride and arrogance. Don't blame somebody else for your own dirty laundry. Clean it yourself. Come on, let's go a little further. In verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. You know, think about what came out of your mouth in the last 24 hours. Was it good for necessary edification? Well, who told you that then? Did you take your responsibility and repent, sever and kill it? Did you do what you're supposed to do? Or are you still justifying and lying to yourself, taking heed of the voice of the stranger and blaming everybody else and everything around you for what you're doing wrong? Hey, man, it's no more game anymore. It's time to grow up. Hello? It's time to stop being immature. It's time to mature. Time's running out and there's a job to do. It's not about your life. How many of y'all here gave your life to Jesus? Then why are you fighting for it? Give it up. It's a good day to die. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to who? So what did you just say? Imparting to somebody else. Where you at, man? We're going to do a teaching on you. Where you at? What realm you in? And do not grieve the what? Do not what? Do not what? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with your pierced tongue. Ooh, got real quiet in here. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Now, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Make no place for the devil. Why? Because his presence will leave you. Hello? And another presence will come. The same thing that happened to Saul. A distressing spirit came, didn't it? Another presence will come, and it will promote you. It promotes who? Yourself. Make no place for the devil, nor grieve the Holy Spirit. Samson lost the presence of God because of a relationship. King Saul lost the kingdom in the presence of God because of pride. What will lose the presence of God in your life? Now the Bible says he never leaves us nor forsakes us, does he? We live and have our being in him. But there's a presence that will leave you. That is the person of who he is. He will not associate with self. Oh, you'll have the living, containing presence of God, but there's another presence of the person that will leave you, and a tormenting spirit will come. Is everybody okay? Go to James 3. How many people have inherited something from a loved one that passed away, like finances and things of that degree? And we called it a good gift. But for that person, it wasn't a good gift. In fact, that person ended up using drugs, going to jail, nearly killing people and whatever, himself or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to be able to discern these things. What is a good gift and what isn't? What is from God and what is not from God? Now, if that gift was established for a specific reason to be released to that person, you notice? Timing. My daughter will not inherit anything until she's a specific age. Because it's timing. And there will be other stipulations. Why? Because I wouldn't want the good gift to hurt her. I want it to add to the walk in her life with Christ. Amen. That's the purpose of it. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth or justify or reason. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. The know-it-alls, right? Did you get counsel on it? Did you seek the truth of this? Did you knock? Did you do what you're supposed to do before you did it? And then when you receive counsel, did you do it? Or are you still justifying why you haven't? Then what wisdom is that from? Well, I've known the Lord a long time, right? He's known you a long time. No, I know the Lord a long time. No, he's known you a long time. Because if you knew him, you'd obey him. Because you would trust him with everything you have. And anything he said, you would do. because you know he knows it. But if you don't know him and he knows you, you're going to still do what you want to do. You're going to say what you want to say. You'll be led by how you feel. You'll be led by what you see, dreams, visions, and all kinds of goofy, stupid stuff. Granolaism. You become nutty and fruity instead of walking in the truth and the path of Christ. You allow things to get between you and God. Blessings are to add to, not to prevent from. Those are the good gifts of God. Let's go a little further. Verse 16. For where what? Envy. Self-seeking exist. Confusion. And every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Come on, everybody say it. Pure. It's what?
Pure.
Pure. Then what? Peaceable. Then what? Gentle. Willing to what? Submit or yield. Full of what? Mercy. And what? Good fruits. Without what? Partiality. Without what? Hypocrisy. Oh, man. You better highlight that one. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I know you don't want to lose the presence of God. I'm talking about the person presence. Where you know that you know that he's there. Where you can feel his touch. You know his heartbeat. You know his character. You don't even have to ask for anything. Or you don't even have to talk. There's a constant communication without communicating. And that's where he wants to get you. So that when you walk, you know he's there. Your steps are no longer yours, they're his. The words that come out of your mouth are no longer yours or his. The places you go is not because you want, it's because he's doing it. The dreams, the visions, they're his, not yours. Everything is his. It's no longer you that live, but him that lives in you. I encourage you, discern the good gifts of God between the good gifts of the devil. His gifts are not burdensome. Never burdensome. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we thank you and we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've accepted a good gift from the devil. Lord, we sever them right now. We sever our emotional attachment with a good gift from darkness. We sever that right now. Lord, we sever every false hope, false desire, false will. We sever those right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in anything that's come out of our mouth that has caused corruption and hurt somebody else. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness of pride and arrogance, selfish ambitions, me, myself, and I. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Remove from us everything, Lord, that offends you. Forgive us for lying, manipulating. Lord, sever us from all confusion and fear and anxiety. And we commit to you all of our cares now. We sever everything from us and anything that would put anything between you and me. We sever. And we command to go in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Father, that you'd restore us to our first love. We ask for your forgiveness, Holy Spirit, and every time we've grieved you. And we've opened a door to the enemy, allowed him access because of our own desires. But Lord, we want your desires. We want your will, your dreams, your visions. Lord, we want the mind, the heart, and the will and the desires of Christ to be manifested in us. Again, forgive us and have mercy upon us. Wash us with the blood and fill us with your Spirit that we may be one with you. Prepare our hearts. Lord, anything that we've done that has interfered, anything that was purchased even out of season, phones, vehicles, clothing, anything that was purchased out of season because of a selfish ambition. Even Saul lost your presence because he thought he was getting things and doing things for you. but it wasn't directed from you. Lord, have mercy upon us and restore to us divine order according to the gift of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.